Thank you, Miss Colleen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome you in worship in person. We welcome you online. A note from Jim Polliard. I hope you're all having a safe and happy holiday season. We're doing well. Getting a little older and a little slower. Takes twice as long to do half as much, he says. The sun in the morning is a welcome sight. Amen. So greetings from him, greetings to all of you. The snow is coming this week again, I understand. I don't know that we're going to get a lot. That last snow season, we got quite a bit of snow. But did any of you get out in it when we had that snow and when it was snowing? Oh, it was beautiful. I went out one evening and I walked across to the park and I just stood there and I listened to the snow and it was just beautiful. And then I heard something and I thought it was somebody talking, and I looked, and there was two snowmen. And the one snowman said to the other one, "Do you smell carrots?" Oh. Carrot, nose, carrot. That one went over real well. We welcome all of you. On the back of the bulletin, you see that our worship services are pretty much in the regular routine. We're in good time and standard time. We're having a good gathering. If you came in and did not get a gift as you were coming in, Linda Emerson helped, and we have, and you all get kisses. You've all get, if you go out with anybody later and they say, "How was church?" Tell them, "I got lots of kisses." They'll wonder what church you go to. And that's a good thing. Are there announcements, things for the good of the order that we want to lift? And Debbie Gunther, our mission coordinator, standing up promptly and preparedly.
Good morning. So thank you to everybody that went to Applebee's 2 weeks ago. I don't know how we did yet. But the February fundraiser, it will be February 25th at Just Grill from 11 to closing. Just Grill is at Iliff and Buckley, approximately. Thank you very much. And so far, Aurora Interfaith for last year got a check from CROP, Church World Service, for over $2,100. So thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Sandy Tenney, did the Women of Faith manage to gather on Saturday? Do you want to say it? All right, let's say that into the microphone so our internet friends can know as well.
The women did meet. We had a lot of fun, and I did a lot of sharing about Don. And I don't care if they tell other people what I shared.
Well, thank you, and thank you for the good works that you do and the gathering and the socialization, as well as the opportunities for prayer and for missions. Other things for the good of the order as we come and gather and are about our gathering time. Okay, Valentine's Day is coming up. We might see a little bit of an accent of that as we are in the midst of the service, but we want to gather, we want to be about that and set aside all of our other agendas as we come in clear worship of our Lord God. Amen. All right, stand, wave hello to one another. Let's begin with our call to worship.
Melissa.
Hi, everyone. I think you all know me, so I won't tell you my name. You can guess if you don't. If you'll join with me in the call to worship, which is up there on our screen also. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Brothers and sisters in Christ, join me in worshiping our Lord God. We set aside distractions and give this time our first and ever to God. Come, loving God. Come join us in this holy time. Now, if you'll join me in the song, "They All Know We Are Christians by Our Love," number 2223 in the Black Hymnal. be seated, and we'll read the scripture. But first, as Sandy was saying at the Women's Club, we had some sharing, which was really good, I think, for everyone. But sometimes, I think, as a congregation, we forget that we have other people here in the congregation that would be willing to talk if you need someone to talk to. I know you can, if you want to need to call me. And I promise my right ear is deaf, so I'll hear, but that'll be it. So anyway, just remember that, though. If you get in a time when you need someone to talk to, please think about calling one of us here, because I know we would all listen if we could. Okay, our scripture is from Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Oh, woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. And the seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom should I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We turn to our prayer time. On the back of the bulletin, you see the ongoing prayers that we lift. Do we have any updates on any of those that Michael, Deb Gunther was indicating to me that she wants to give us an update, please.
This isn't an update, but I was asked to pray for Susan Johnson. She brings Rita Johnson. She broke her foot during a fall a couple weeks ago. So please pray for Susan Johnson.
Okay. Dang, she was Rita's ride too, wasn't she? Ruella has something there, Michael.
Well, an update, you can see that Larry's here today, but he's still in a lot of pain, so he needs more prayers, continued prayers. Thanks.
Okay, Larry, glad to see you here, though, brother. Others, other concerns? It is cold, a little coldish. It's going to get cold again this week. Prayers for those who are compromised in ways that that's going to impact them severely, and prayers that we have as a community, as a country, as a nation, have ways to take care of and to help out those less fortunate. Anything else by way of concerns? Nalu, I'm going to speak for you, brother, but he was sick last week. He says he's still trying to get over some crud. So prayers for him. Some of us are trying to remember to wear masks, that this is that flu season. We need to be aware of that. Let's not, it's good as Christians to share much, but that's not one of the things that we need to share. Any other concerns? I don't see any by way of celebrations. On Wednesday, L.J. Relford is going to turn 11. Happy birthday to him. James, your wife Alice has a birthday on Saturday. Did you remember? That's a good thing. This is part of the job for us here, is try and keep everybody up to date on stuff. Do we know how old? Next Sunday, Armadale Miller has a birthday, but we do not have an age on that. Any guesses, Miss? I'm looking down here at Melba. She's. Melba says she was one of the first members of the church, so she should be, yeah, an august age. So celebrations are others. Are there any other birthdays or special anniversary? Donnie, if you, Michael, if you could take the microphone down to Don Larson.
Okay, Richard, our son-in-law, had a birthday on the 6th, and my sister Debbie had a birthday on the 7th. And celebration for her, but it's also a sad time because my dad was born, she was born on my dad's birthday. Okay. So like she says, you know, this is the first year in 65 years that I haven't celebrated with him.
Yep. Celebration that he's in God's arms, but yes, there's still grief, and we acknowledge that. Amen, amen. Richard Schneer, I know you. I'm catching you without any warning, but can you give us an update on your on Pastor Phil? Paul. Wait for the microphone, brother.
Okay, Pastor Paul has been in at Spalding Rehab Center. If all goes as planned, he will go home next Tuesday, 2 days from now, which we're delighted with, and then has some ongoing PT, of course, but he's doing well.
Good, good, good reports. Just to be aware, it was not long, too long ago, that if you broke a hip, you would not recover. There was very little that could be done. So just to be aware of the gifts of medicine and the progress that we make and how God continues to bless those who learn and grow and are able to take care of us and for caregivers. Any others?
I would like to add also a new announcement. We lost, over at St. Mark's, we lost a member there, Doug Benson, who is younger than me, was much younger than me, but had severe complications of diabetes and has passed this week.
Okay. Doug Benson. Others. Michael, in the back, this young lady, I can't figure out her name. She's one of the Mitchell kids. Stephanie Iverson, please.
No, Don Boyles just texted me and said that it's Mary's birthday today. So happy birthday to Mary.
He's what? He's watching at home. Okay.
Watching at home. Hi, Don.
Okay. Others, other prayers or concerns? I don't see any. We celebrate all of those. We celebrate your special achievements that you're not going to share aloud out of humility. And we lift all your concerns because we know that God knows them and he hears you in silent prayer. Amen? Turn with me, if you will. Let us turn to our unison prayer. Let us read responsively. Lord God, hear your people gathered here in prayer. We have lifted some of our prayers aloud, and as we turn to this time of silence, we lift our private prayers. Hear our prayers, O Lord, and guide us and inspire us. We ask comfort for those who are hurting and reassurance for those who are afraid. Wonderful, loving God, You have loved us unconditionally. Thank you, thank you. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Eternal and loving God, in your very being we discover the essence of true love. You are the lover, the beloved, and the love that flows between all loving. As we are created in your image, empowered by you today, we gather as people seeking to deeper love, to encompassing hearts of souls and minds and strength, that we might be those who love vibrantly. Teach us, Lord, to love those dearest to us, those with whom we are most vulnerable and most guarded. Help us to build and rebuild trust and authenticity with each other. Enable us to forgive and to ask for forgiveness that we might share in your great works of love and care and reconciliation through Jesus Christ. May all of the memories of our past that are struggles for us, may they dim as time progresses through your healing of time and the passage of days, that we can understand and that we can accept your forgiveness. Lord, grant us deeper friendships. Grant that we might be the best versions of ourselves to those around each other, to those around us. And help us acknowledge that we are accountable for our actions, and that we are accountable for our care of others. Guide us to always speak the truth and to be without judgment. Lord, open our hearts to a greater sense of your love for us, that love that is tenacious, patient, and unconditional. Remove the barriers that we have erected in our spirits that block your love in our lives, our love from you, our love sent from you through us to one another. Guide us and empower us through doubt. Guide us and empower us to move past pride. Guide us and empower us to be agents of love and not shame. Loving God, in our truest, best beings, we know that you are love and how that love looks. Continue to guide us, inspire us, grow us in that truest and most divine love and care. Lord, we come before you, we ask, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps Colleen can express it in a term that we might all remember as well and might be familiar to us.
Join me now in the reading of the New Testament, John 21, 13 through 17. If you'll stand if you're able. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. Now this was the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, if Stephanie will come up and her friends, we will have the VBS. Whatever.
The VBS action song.
If you're joining us online, I don't know if you're going to stand up at your computer and do these aerobics with us, but it's good aerobic exercise, a good celebration of God, and we've got some good young people here to help us. Thank you. Very nice. Well done. Excellent. I need to sit down and catch my breath, huh? Not quite. Larry, you were a ranger. Did you ever work at the Colorado National Monument? Were you ever assigned there? Not on that. That is one of the, pardon me? Oh, that's true. Yeah. Well, it was state to begin with, and it went federal or something, or I don't remember how that worked, but yeah, okay. And that some of those pictures were my backyard. The one with the Roadrunner, you know that? No, maybe not. Monument, Monument Valley was part of all of that, some beautiful stuff there. And I believe they were the Garden of the Gods, was where the kids were when they did film the video, but there were shots from all over. So God's great creation, awesome stuff, awesome God. How many of you have already gotten Valentine's presents? Boy, not very loving. Nobody's hands went up at all. Do you remember back in the day when you used to get those little boxes of candies with the sayings on them? Do you remember those? They were all just one massive packed piece of sugar. I remember that much when you ate them. But they had all kinds of sayings on them. Do you remember some of those? Be mine. You're in my heart. Hug me. I remember when I was in elementary, I thought, I need to give that to a cute girl, but I was way too shy. First kiss was one. Wow. I might have gotten that wrong. It might have been mom if you turned it upside down. I don't know. I'm not really sure. Call me. Real love. And then they had a heart that just said yes. I don't know. I don't know how that worked. Smack. I assume that was a kiss, not the other any other kind of smack. Be true. Be true. I hope some of you get some of those. Linda and I didn't coordinate, but these are just kisses. So just take your kisses and be satisfied with that. Thank you again for those, Miss Linda. That was wonderful. Doesn't she do a great job? I'll tell you what. Give her a little hug, too. This week, their furnace went out at their house. They picked a good week for it to go out. It was fairly warm, but it was the furnace needed some TLC, some love. So they got tens of thousands of dollars worth of love for it. So all of those Valentines, do they still... Man, I got to get to the sermon sooner or later. It's here. But do they still make those boxes in elementary school and stuff Valentine's? Stephanie's nodding her head, yes. So they still do that. I remember thinking, I'm going to send Valentine's to that kid that picked on me on the swings. But, you know, you did. Everybody got a Valentine. Do you remember that? I think the Valentine card companies are the ones that make out on that one because all the elementary schools have to go by. And I'm off track here. But is that about love, that Valentine's thing and that whole business? And you know that Valentine was a priest, and he would often sign his missives, his letters to people. He would send encouragements, and he'd say, be my Valentine. And that's kind of how all of that got started. That's my understanding. We're hoping that that's true and not some myth on the internet. But that's there's different loving that's going on, the love of a sweetheart and God's love for us. We've talked about this over the last several weeks. They're not the same thing, really. They are, but they're not. I mean, love of sweetheart is different than God's love for us. It is, but it isn't. You know how I'm confused with that. But I have to tell you, I never hesitated to coo sweet nothings into my beloved's ears or to say I love you to a beloved one of mine because I felt unworthy. How about you? Did you ever feel like you couldn't celebrate Valentine's Day because you have feet of clay? Maybe that's not something we think about on Valentine's Day, but you know what's funny is I believe that United Methodists, and we're probably not the only ones, but we focus most on our feet of clay and our failure to be perfect than a lot of other denominations. I don't know that to be a fact, but from what I'm hearing from some other denominations, they don't care much and don't worry much, and it's all right to sin because you're forgiven. But I'll tell you one thing I do know, and that is that this denomination and others like us, we're called the frigid Christians, okay? Because, you know, we just don't talk about it much, and there it's a long-standing tradition. I knew some Presbyterians that I had known for years and years. I never knew they even went to church. And they didn't know I went to church, so maybe it's an indictment of both of us. But I've asked people over the years why we don't talk about our faith and why don't we share God's love for us and express it as that same love that we offer to others. I usually get a response. The first one is usually, I don't know my Bible very well. Now, I don't know all the biblical terms. I don't know all those churchy terms, ecclesiastical phraseology, epistemological, existential, you know, all of those big $9 words. And so being not well enough informed, I'm hesitant to speak out. I hear that. And I remember thinking when I started seminary, I said, this is going to be great because I'm going to get all my questions answered and I'm going to figure out all those funky words and I'm going to have it all straight. Do any of you watch Jeopardy? Oh, most of us have. That's kind of interesting. You know, it's always amazing to me is that when they have a category around Bible trivia, it humbles me every time. You would think, I've been doing this for a few years now, 1986, you do the math. But you would think that by now, and having read through this lovely book numerous times, that I would be fairly good at a trivial, Jeopardy category around Bible or what have you. They do manage to pick some trivial things, but, and it's in the King James, which is not my version, so that's my excuse. But we are hesitant to express ourselves to others because we don't want to have to admit our mistakes. But we own our mistakes, and we have our mistakes, and we are a people of unclean lips. We have sinned. How can we tell anybody about God if we're not worthy? How can we be the one to share that? Most people in the pews, and I remember being in the pews thinking that I shouldn't be sharing Christ with other people. The pastor should be doing that. But the amazing part is that you get more done from the pews than I can ever do as a pastor. Once somebody knows I'm clergy, once they know that I'm a preacher of a church, there's a certain set of walls and barriers and mute buttons that go up faster than you could shake a stick. Where did that saying come from? We'll do an essay on that next week, all right? We are not worthy. Now, I want to just reflect on that. I've met some wonderful people over the years. Think about that. Think about some of the most wonderful people you've met and had a chance to be around. Now, I've met some amazing and wonderful clergy, preachers, bishops, awesome people, just amazing, wonderful, awesome people. And there have been humans in my life that I call saints. How about you? People that have touched you, that have been the saints, that have been models for you. But none of them are perfect. I hate it when I figure that out. I met Bishop Sano, and I was early in my ministry, and I was in awe and gaga, and he is worthy of a lot of adoration in the sense that he has made some difficult journeys. But meeting him in person and talking, and he's a human being just like me. And I met his wife, and there's something was going on. It was kind of humorous. You know how a couple sometimes there's some disagreement going on, and you talk to them and you can tell they don't say anything, but you can kind of tell that they're having a little bit of lover spat there. I don't know none of you couples have ever had lover spats, but there was a little bit of a tiff going on between Lozano's, and I remember thinking, you just fell off the pedestal, Bishop. So I've never met anybody perfect except Jesus, and I had a parishioner in Johnstown, Charlie Williams. He says, there's never been anybody perfect except Jesus. Doesn't mean, as I've mentioned before, that we're not moving on to perfection. We're not trying. We're not working our best. True? Yes? 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 Okay. Need to kind of double check on that one. But here's Isaiah. Man, what a prophet. What an interesting individual. Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. That's an interesting statement to me, because somehow being surrounded by people of unclean lips might influence our ability to be in the presence of the Lord. That's what Isaiah is worried about. He says, I'm going to stand before God and... Oh, goodness, I am a man of unclean lips. We are all people of unclean lips. I can't speak for all of you, but I would be willing to bet on it. I'm not a betting man either, but we know that we are the pots, not the potter. So Isaiah says, I'm in trouble. God is going to speak to me, and I'm... a sinner. And an angel, what did you call it, Diana? A seraph? What is it? What does the scripture say? A seraph. I don't know my angels all that well. They're not a biblical thing as much as what, anyway. Takes a live coal from the fire with a pair of tongs. I would think angels could grab coals without being burned, but that's just another thing that just worries me is in the back of my mind. But the angel takes that live coal and touches it to Isaiah's lips. Now that this has touched your lips, you are made clean. Now, they don't do that anymore in the hospital. It's a wonderful thing. We don't have to sear this or use hot coals or whatever. There was a time when that was the only way to stop infections or sometimes severe bleedings. It was a hard time. It was effective for its period, I guess, but other than seeing that in TV and movies, it certainly doesn't happen anymore. Now we have penicillin, unless you're allergic, or antibiotics, or antiseptics, and we have ways of trying to help prevent infections. It was not long ago that surgeons would do surgery in their street clothes. They did not even know that they were infecting their patients just by the impurities they were bringing. So here comes this angel and symbolically purifies Isaiah's lips. Your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out. Honest repentance. Gosh, we could have that. Don't you think we should have something in the church where that's the case, that we recognize? And if we are truly remorseful, I mean, I have made some mistakes in my past. At teenage years, I did some teenage things. And I'd like to forget them. I'd like to apologize for them, what have you. And wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to be forgiven? The Lord's Prayer was just a minute ago, wasn't it? Forgive us our trespasses as we have trespassed against others. And if we are truly remorseful, we are forgiven. Why don't we accept that? Why don't we allow that? And there's a certain part of us that by not accepting God's forgiveness, that we're sinning against God. So now we have guilt over having guilt and having our guilt removed. Don't go down that path, but accept that fact that when we are honestly remorseful, when we really wish we hadn't done it, we can be cleansed of that. Uh, That's not a license to sin again. It's not a license to say, I can get away with this and just go to church on Sunday. I've heard quite a few people who argue, well, I don't go to church because that's the deal, is people go out on Saturday and sin and then go to church on Sunday and confess, and they think that's an okay lifestyle. I don't know people like that. I'm sure there might be some, but that's a criticism perhaps worth noting, a criticism of religion. But if by chance we do, we determine that we're not going to do that thing that we hate, and like Paul said, the very thing that I hate is the thing that I do. And if you do it again, can you go back to the Lord's Prayer and be forgiven again? How many times, they asked Jesus. Not seven times, he said, but seven times 70 times you have to forgive each other. Seven times 70. He's talking about as many times as you can number. He's not saying exactly, 140 times. He's saying as often as your remorse is true and you come for forgiveness, you shall be forgiven. So there's Isaiah, and he's come forward, this man of unclean lips, living amongst a people of unclean lips, and there's a certain part of that. The Bible told the people, don't associate with those others, and the Jews, the Hebrews, built up walls around themselves, walls of community that separated them from everyone else. Don't associate with Samaritans. Don't be around women unless they're escorted. All of these barriers to try and fence in the Bible, as it said. And it took Jesus to talk to them and explain those barriers have prevented you from being able to love each other. So we have to be about being a people who are faithful, even amidst people of unclean lips. But Isaiah's sin is taken away, purified by the hot coal. And then, quote, then I heard the Lord of the voice saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. We have that hymn in our hymnal. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? That one, you remember that one? Send me. And what are we to do when God sends us? Simon Peter, they're on the beach. They've been fishing all night. They haven't caught anything. And it's after the crucifixion. They've gone back to fishing because the revolution's over. The movement of Jesus has come to an end. They have nothing to do. The movement's gone. And they're fishing, and they're not catching anything, and they've been up all night trying to fish, and Jesus appears on the beach. Have you caught anything? They know, not a thing. He says, put down on the other side. And they start to pull on the nets. They're too full. They can't get him in the boat. There's so many fish. They can't eat. They're just awash with fish. So they get to the beach, and Jesus has started breakfast for them. And he eats with them, and he drinks with them. Symbols of true human bodies. You see, spirits can't eat and drink. So he here is resurrected in the flesh, and he eats and drinks with them. And they know who it is. They haven't recognized him. That's one of the hallmarks of many of Jesus' movements, but they know that it's got to be him now. And they're finishing breakfast, and Jesus pins down Cephas, Simon Peter. Looks at all the fishermen, all the disciples gathered there, and says, Simon, do you love these? I love these. Lord, yes, you know I love these. Good, Jesus. Good. Feed my lambs. You bet, Lord. Whatever. Don't know what that means for sure, but yes, Lord. Simon, do you love these? Simon, yes, Lord, I love these. Feed my sheep. So we asked him a third time, Simon. Was it three times because Simon denied him three times? Many theologians think that's maybe why Jesus did it three times. But the third time he asked him again, do you love me more than all these? You love me more than them. And Simon Peter, now he's got his full attention, and man, he's crushed. Lord, how can you ask that? You know me, you know my heart. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. That loving that we're called to. This is Valentine's. This is the time of feeding sheep. This is the time of loving one another. How do we do that? It's going to vary. Some feed sheep by preaching. That might be me. That might be Nalu. That might be Mark on occasion. Some of the other preachers gathered amongst us, we'll see who those are. Melba has done a fine job feeding some sheep, amen. Some feed the sheep by teaching and educating. Have you had teachers that were teachers of both their subjects, but also of a morality of love and care and compassion and acceptance? Some feed through working with food banks or through donations to food banks or through givings to missions or works that help reach out beyond their own hands. And some go on mission trips. How many of you have been on a mission trip? Not a lot of us, probably a few. I've been on three. It was wonderful and it was horrible. I mean, it was horrible to see the state of people in third world countries. And to know that how much we have and how much they don't have. But it was wonderful to see and to feel their love of us coming to try and help and for our ability to try and do something and for the people that supported us going on those trips. Feed my sheep, God says. It's going to be up to each one of us how we do that. It may be merely you loving that neighbor of yours that's hard to love. Or maybe that in-law who's an outlaw. Loving them unconditionally as God has loved us. Here I am, Lord, send me. Now we're going to finish and we're going to sing a song. Michael pointed out to me that we should be singing from the Beatles, All I Need Is Love, right? All I need is love. Love, no, but we're not. We're going to sing a Wondrous Love. I'm going to ask the ensemble to come up here and help lead it, sing it, kind of give us voice, because it is a wondrous thing. I've been singing it, humming it for weeks now. I need a little help doing it. You can come and help. Come on, ensemble. Ensemble. Come on down. Melissa, why don't you come up with your tape later so you don't get stuck behind them? Thank you, dear. And I'll let you and Colleen figure out when you're ready to start there.
Step forward, all of you, so we can get to the candles.
Okay.
Just get right up there.
Oh,
Stay up here, you guys. Our service comes to an end, but our work begins. What, Lord? What do you want us to do? Feed my sheep. May God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit inspire us, lead us, and show us how to do that will and that work. Amen?
Amen.
All right, join hands if you will. We'll sing our closing. God's people said, Amen. Amen.